Mark Smith, welcome.
Thank you, Julia. It's great to be here.
Now, with your third novel, Rock and Roll Voodoo, hot off the presses, and congratulations, great read, you have declared your niche, roman à clef. Now, that's French for novel with a key, and it is a novel about real life overlaid with a facade of fiction. Let's start there. Why does this storytelling method appeal to you?
Well, you get to use the characters from your real life. And then you get to jazz them up with some fiction. Oh, plus it's a good cover because sometimes the protagonist in the book is doing some things I would never dream of doing, of course.
I see. So, Rock and Roll Voodoo, would you give us a one-sentence scenario?
A rock and roll band in the bayou south of New Orleans discovers the power of voodoo as it guides them through the perilous waters of a band on the road. And it starts in 1977. Which is actually when I was in a band in New Orleans.
The funniest thing.
Hello.
That's how that works. And so what's the personal point and perspective you wanted to highlight with telling this story?
The main point of the story is our hero starts off, he's a thrill seeker. He needs to be the center of attention. He's on the road to full-blown drug addiction and womanizing and really wanted to tell the story. Not that any of that has anything to do with me personally. But I wanted to tell the story of how he realizes that the selfish pursuit of pleasure is not the road to happiness. Who knew?
And he couldn't be persuaded probably without this journey.
We needed to bring in the supernatural to get this through this guy's thick skull.
Well, that's great. And okay, Mark, that pop culture of the decade, you bring it to life along with your adventure, and it obviously drove your actions back then. What about now?
I'm still playing a lot of rock and roll. I'm still adventurous, but my adventures are a little bit different. Instead of taking a band out on the road, I'm mainly trying to get over my big fat self. I'm trying to be less selfish. The one-sentence prologue says, life is a spiritual obstacle course designed to see if you can get over yourself.
Good for you, and thank you for your honesty as well. So back to the roman à clef novel with a key concept. The key is the relationship between the nonfiction and the fiction in that genre. Just what is that in this book?
This is where the voodoo hits the road, because the key between the fact and the fiction is the spiritual nature of the voodoo connection. And what does the spirit world tell our boy in his material milieu? It says, you've got to escape the prison of self. You've got to stop thinking of this as your world. You've got to get into the stream, the river that connects us all, the river of love, music, and voodoo, if you will, or Christianity, whatever you want to call it.
A higher power or a thought.
A higher power.
I get that. And in your heart, why is this a story that needed telling?
Well, we grew up in the 60s, pretty self-centered, went through the me decade, and it's been all this... I, me, mine is a Beatles song. That's what life has been all about for most of us, most of our life. And we're coming to the end of our lives as baby boomers, and we're realizing, well, you know, it's not exactly that fulfilling. There must be something more. So you turn to the spiritual side of the coin. You know, the material world is what you see, taste, hear, smell, touch. But there's a whole other side to life that many people try to ignore. What this book is saying is, pay attention to the voice, because the voice is there for everybody.
Good point. And yes, it says that very, very well from, of course, an amusing perspective, but a very real and deep root in that story. Okay, since you're now the lawyer you were actually avoiding becoming throughout this story, how does that drive your motive, even need, for telling the story?
Well, I was never going to be a lawyer. Of course, I was going to be a rock star, right?
Of course.
Wasn't everybody. But once I became a lawyer, I did realize that you can do a lot of good with a law degree. You can help other people, which is getting outside yourself. The best way to get outside yourself is to help other people. Because in the end, none of us have any idea what we're doing here. Nobody in the world has ever known. Is this cause for dismay? Or is this an opportunity? It's an opportunity. To what? Make up your reason for living. I made mine up. It's two words. Help others.
Great point, and I know that's true.
That's what I'm trying to do with this book.
Now, I am curious. How does that lawyer side of yourself resolve mixing fact with fiction? I mean, that's kind of a lawyer's bane, and that's the premise of this book.
Julia, lawyers mix facts with fiction all the time. The truth has many faces, and it's how you present it. As a criminal defense attorney, by the way, all your clients are horribly guilty and drug addicted, so you got to kind of put their best foot forward. There's a little fiction involved in there.
That's how you got good at it then.
Not nearly so tidy a separation as you might think.
Okay, and yet another myth you have dispelled or truth you've brought forward. Thank you for that as well. And okay, the voodoo voice that guided you on your journey in this book, fact or fiction?
Fact. The Bayou voodoo cow skull hangs in my scriptorium. At many points in this book, I looked directly at that cow skull and said, what should I do? And that thing spoke to me.
Okay, Mark, and I know the skull's still around. Is the voice still around, and do you still listen to it?
Yes, I listen. You know, you don't listen to it as much as you listen for it. And the act of listening for something outside yourself is maybe more important than hearing something outside yourself. Just this notion that there's more to it than me, that maybe if I shut my big mouth and listen to whatever's out there, I'll get some inspiration. I'm going to tell you this. At one point, I said, what should I do? And the voodoo skull said to me, look at CNN. I'm thinking, well, that's crazy. Look at CNN on my little computer, and sure it is, there's an article on the Boy Kaman voodoo uprising in Haiti in 1791. And that's where I took my character, right back to 1791 with a black powder pistol in his hand.
And so you combined fact with fiction with fact with fiction, and I'm getting the key to all of this because you do have a real serious side to yourself, I believe, that can come out in many ways, including a very amusing storyteller.
Well, we're all on a spiritual quest because we have a void in us, a not knowing, you know, what's going on here. And the natural inclination is to try to figure it out. But then you come to the point where you realize, uh-oh, we don't have enough RAM. I'm never going to figure it out. But yet I can open my mind to things beyond myself.
Great point. Yes, indeed. And in your case, you can tell a story or almost a fable, if you will, which is another way to look at this wonderful adventure, to really emphasize the important points of life that you're discussing and feeling now. Is that an empowerment to you?
Yes. The book is a coming-of-age book, and that's what this is about. He starts off in one direction and ends up in quite a different direction.
That's for sure. And what about your wife, Jody, or should I call her Amy? What's her reaction to being in this spotlight?
You might notice the book is dedicated to the world's greatest living artist, my wife, Jo Ellen Hemphill Smith, which is her full name. Of course, I love her work. She's afraid to read the book because she lived the book and she knows how wild, and I don't want to say wild and crazy because it was more than crazy. We were like horses just let out of a corral stampeding across the open plains.
That sounds like a good premise for another book. We'll see. Meanwhile, how does rock and roll continue to factor into your life?
You know, the spirit of rock and roll is the spirit of music, the beat, the melody, the rhythm. This has an effect on us unlike anything else in our lives. It unites us. It connects us. It can take you back in time. It can make you feel like you were 16 again. How does this work? It's the mystical, spiritual, magical power of music, which is the same thing as the power of voodoo, which is the same thing as the power of love. And if we can just get over ourselves, we can jump in that river and ride, baby, ride.
That means, I think, in another way of saying it, we can have it all, and it's all great. It's all worth having.
Right.
Okay, Mark, now that you have this published and are having fun with it as your newest novel, any other Romana Clef adventures working on that drawing board?
I am about 30,000 words into my fourth novel called The Reporter. And The Reporter is based upon my experience as a reporter at the Journal-Gazette in Fort Wayne.
Which is another true story.
Yeah. And you're going to be a character in the book, Julia.
Is that a
Well,
that
maybe
you'll
just be called the Queen. It's kind of another coming-of-age story. But this reporter when he interviews people, they confess too much to him, and he has to censor what he prints and what he doesn't.
Another interesting premise. We're looking forward to that, and good luck, of course, with it. And before I let you go, Mark, what's the most important thing your own rock and roll voodoo adventure and the sharing of it taught you?
You know, it's taught me how far I have to go in getting over myself. Anybody who knows me realizes that's a fact. However, thinking of other people, listening is so much more important than talking, and flipping that coin from the material to the spiritual.
Mark Smith, a Fort Wayne attorney, is author of Rock and Roll Voodoo, his latest novel. Thanks so much for sharing your story of this wild and crazy story, Mark. Carry it on.
Thank you, Julie. It's always good to be here with you.